Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Deep Dive with Rich Phan. I am, of course, Rich Phan. I am part of the 7-day PW Torch Daily Cast lineup of shows. If you have any questions about the Daily Cast, what we do, where we go, go to pwtorch.com and you can find out who hosts when, where, what, and why. I apologize for the delay on today's live show. College students are, in fact, the worst. And to bring my correspondent on early, Justin, do you agree with this sentiment?
Well, yes. When you told me that college students were to blame, I assumed some sort of toga party had broken out that you couldn't get around. But then you said it was some parking issue. So I was like, oh, college students. I hope you had some fun.
Well, I thought about doing it, but I didn't want to be that guy. I had 5 cars.
You can't be that guy. Aren't you a crusty dean at this point?
Well, yeah, I guess I could, but I didn't want to do it because the issue was I already have a program I have to do at 6, which allegedly starts at 6, but it's probably going to start later. And then I tried to park in my space, and the turnaround area where the parking lot would be is blocked off with varying cars in awkward positions because there was one parent just had to park there to get stuff out for their kid. There's another person who's saying a tearful goodbye to their boyfriend. There's yet another person who is just sitting in the car and wondering why the person behind them is trying to, you know, get to an actual space. And so it became
probably listening to Dave
cluster.
Matthews and crying softly.
I feel like I heard crashes.
I don't know. I guess do kids – what is like the DMB for this new generation? Callers, if you have insight, please chime in. Would it be Skrillex? I assume.
I know. Suckers got to know. We got to know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm pulling a Wade right now. Welcome back to the Deep Dive, Justin. Tell the folks a little bit about yourself and – our subject today is Ring of Honor. You and Chris got to attend one of their shows this past week. And
yes,
we're kind of going to dive into that. But before we do, why don't you give them a little bit 411 on yourself?
As noted, my name is Justin, long time pro wrestling aficionado.
Long.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Also a movie fan. I've been on the show before doing weird things. Who knows what, right? I mean, I watched all the Marines for the show, so and by God, I loved every minute. So I'm currently sitting here in my Jonathan Gresham Octopus t-shirt to give you some level of fandom. The more cartoonish one, he has several. I guess since we're talking about Ring of Honor specifically, I've been a casual Ring of Honor fan, I would say, pretty much since the inception, probably like the second year, really. 2003, they had their first show in Pittsburgh. I attended with none other than the host of the Deep, .. Rich Phan. The main event was AJ Styles and Loki against Xavier and Christopher Daniels and Xavier against AJ Styles and Loki. Yes. Anyway, so I live in Dayton, and that used to be like one of Ring of Honor's big stomping grounds. They would come here 3 or 4 times a year. So I went to many of those shows, and they stopped in 2014. So if Ring of Honor officials are listening, please come back. And also like I didn't buy every DVD, but I bought many of the ones that were winning awards in the competition's annual, awards issue. And anyway, I don't know, like the syndicated show also runs in Dayton. So I watched that, infrequently until December of 2017. And I said I made a personal commitment to become more involved in Ring of Honor because that's just something I do sometimes and, like, really tried to watch every episode. And I also I joined the Nascent Honor Club late last year, so I've been trying to watch all the shows since then. So that's sort of my Ring of Honor background in a roundabout way of how we came up to this topic. Because even before the Madison Square Garden show, there was a lot of internet rumblings about Ring of Honor's contributions to said show, and people were like, "Oh, this doesn't look good." And I was probably the only person in America and maybe the world who was coming to that show more invested in Ring of Honor than New Japan, which I only occasionally watch. So I was sort of like living in Ring of Honor bubble, and I was like, "Huh, I wonder what people don't like about this show." And then I started looking at it, and I said, "Oh, I could see there were definitely some problems." And I think there were some problems with the actual show, although I was done by the level of vitriol that came out of it. Like, people are like, "Oh, I'm never watching Ring of Honor again. They've ruined everything." So I didn't, would certainly not go that far. But I do think they do have some issues, some of which they're working to address, and some that I think they do have some good qualities still, and some things and some poor qualities. So hopefully we can talk about those in the next 45 minutes or however long you have. And also, you know, as Rich will probably say, call in and we'll hear from you, right, Rich?
Absolutely. And if you want to give us a call, you can give us a call at 515-605-9345. That's 515-605-9345. So first thing I wanted to talk about is we just had some news in the last 24 hours from the Torch's own Sean Radican regarding the show in Israel and Jay Lethal, David Starr, the state of the Ring of Honor title and how it's not being defended. There are allegations the title may have been taken off to kind of thumb their nose at the Israeli group, and David's not disdain, but his disbelief of that. What do you think about that whole situation before we even dive into what you actually saw live?
I think that's some hogwash. Anybody who is watching Ring of Honor for 3 months knew Taven was getting the title at Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square,
I mean,
Taven
he has been built up for that thing for like a year, so like it was pretty clearly happening. And even, I mean, they even noted in the article, they said, or the initial like announcement, like if Lethal lost the belt, then you would, you know, then whoever was the champ would come there. So like they would kind of hedge their bets. Now I don't know if they're not now getting a world title match.
Yeah, because they're not bringing Taven over, and they're telling the promotion they'd have to pay extra for Taven.
That could be fallout. I don't know why you would pay more for Taven than Lethal, but it's neither here nor there.
And essentially, you'd have to pay for
both,
really.
Well, I mean, it depends on what was advertised or booked was. You know, were you just getting the world champ X, or were you getting Lethal and the world champ?
So they sold it as Lethal, comma, the world champ. So now what David Starr is alleging is that Lethal's still going to be on the show, but they're not bringing Taven because they are arguing it's a separate fee.
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe they forgot to clear it with Taven.
Yeah, it's a mess. It's a mess. And,
it's a mess,
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, like I said, like I don't. Like the booking was pretty clear. Like Lethal was not going to be the champ by when's the show, like 2 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't think it. They flipped all their, you know, years of booking plans around for some dude's like Twitter promo. Which was a good promo.
Yeah, it was. And then he even went so far as to, quote-unquote, protest at Madison Square Garden. I saw him that evening in front of MSG with a sign, and he was talking to fans and, you know, expressing his disdain for the company.
So, like, how much of that is gimmick and how much of that is real?
To me, I mean, I don't know David Starr as well as, say, Sean does or any of the other folks on the indie side of the tour. Like, you know, between Sean and Alan, I think those are two people who have a pretty good beat on him. To me, I feel like it is him, and he's leaning into his best, in his opinion, best qualities to make himself different than any other independent wrestler.
Yeah.
Because there aren't too many people talking about human rights violation in Israel and using that as the platform to keep himself in the limelight. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Right. Yes.
But
at the end of the day, he still wanted the match.
Well, see, that's the thing. He was brought on because he has a relationship with that Israeli Federation. Like, he's come there before. It wasn't necessarily that he wanted the match, but that's what led to the big hullabaloo. Oh, man, I really am going into Dean Warmer mode. He was put in that position, and he thought it was great that, hey, we're going to have this match. We're going to tear the roof off. And his first issue was that it was going to be Black Machismo. He just wanted to wrestle Jay Lethal, wrestler versus wrestler, not like character versus character. And so he had that cleared up, and the actual promoter had requested Black Machismo, which to me is a whole different set of worms you're opening. Why would you want Jay Lethal in the first time of your company to be Black Machismo defending the title and not Jay Lethal? But whatever.
Well, I mean, okay, I'm not going to go down that rabbit hole. Okay.
And then, you know, you add in the cherry pie to this poop sandwich of the title being no longer in the picture.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've talked about the topic du jour. Where do you fall on the second thing Sean reported on this week, which was Enzo and Big Cass now not being brought into Ring of Honor?
I mean, that's probably for the best, I would think. I don't know. I mean, the reaction by the fan base was pretty strongly against, it felt like, for the most part. I kind of wanted to see the Briscoes against Enzo and Cass. Actually, I really did. I thought, you know, trying to wrap my head around what that match would be like is pretty fun. It's a fun thought experiment. So, but I don't think that's what people really want out of Ring of Honor. And I sort of understood the idea trying to get a buzz, but I just don't think that was the right road to go down.
If I can borrow the old commercial, when I was there at Madison Square Garden, I was very angry when we did the roundtable, but now I've since calmed down and I can kind of look at things and I get what they were trying to do. I still don't agree with it, but it became a case of, your sports entertainment's in my wrestling, your wrestling's in my sports entertainment. And that sort of, it didn't make the creamy peanut butter and chocolate or peanut butter and jelly mix that you see in the commercial. It instead made this like weird sludge because it was so stark, the contrast. I mean, Enzo and Cass not being told, not having New Japan know that was going on. So that's strike one already.
Yeah, that's pretty Bush League.
And then strike two, having these dudes attack the losers of the tag team championship match. That makes no sense to me. And then strike three would have been bringing them in. I feel like they just kind of let that pitch hang and they got a ball and they just, you know, or leaned into it, took the walk, and they called it a day.
Yeah.
But on the other side, they're still going forward with Beautiful People version 3.2 beta, a.k.a. What is it? Not Anarchy. Not
the Allure?
The Allure.
The Allure.
Yes, thank you.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that,
Pete? I don't have a problem with the Allure because, honestly, like, what are they going to do? The women's division is not, it's a struggle right now. They don't have very many women, and it doesn't, you know, like, of any of their divisions, like, certainly they've, like, the work rate has been bypassed by everybody. Even Impact's women's division is like miles ahead. So they needed something. And it's not like, I don't know, they're not going to take up the top of the card. Probably they aren't there to help the work rate either, but if they cut decent promos, then that's something the Women of Honor division needs right now. So, I mean, I don't know. They're not bad people. They could, it could be a good angle. We'll have to see on that one.
Okay, so now here's where I'm going to ask you and push a little bit, see where you sit on it. My issue with it is similar to anything that would be done in WWE or anywhere, to be honest. You have a stable that was created under the auspices of a wrestler that's no longer there. And
yes.
Then it's exacerbated by 2/3 of this new stable being in relationships with the current book, 2 members of the current booking committee in Delirious and Bully Ray.
Okay.
Does that give you a little bit of pause? Because to me, it just screams like, this is a little, not incestuous, that's not the right word, but
nepotistic, I believe, is the term.
Yeah.
I think nepotism is the term you're looking for. I guess. I don't know. I guess it doesn't bother me. Well, I mean, their arch rival, isn't she? She's married to one of the agents for their Ring of Honor's rivals now. So,
yeah, that is true.
If anything, it evens the scales, right?
Yeah,
if anything, it balances the scale. And also, I don't know. When I saw Angelina Love, I was like, "Oh, cool, maybe she'll get Davey Richards back." But then I learned they were divorced, so that was kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, oh. That's awkward.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
now, before we get to your experiences, one last person, and just for my edification, I need to know where you sit on this, and I'm almost turning into Sean Hannity with my disdain for this subject, but I'm just going to come out and say it. The hot sauce issue. Where do you sit on hot sauce in Ring of Honor? Because I feel like it's a national menace akin to J. Jonah Jameson talking about Spider-Man. Hero or menace, hot sauce, Tracy Williams, evil or eviler?
I would say a hero. I recently read an interview where hot sauce is like, you know, he admitted, you know, his favorite pleasure is singing Michael McDonald songs in the shower. Which, I mean, what a guy.
I feel like that media leak was made by one person in particular whose name I will not mention at this time, but I feel like he may have pulled some strings in the media to kind of get Team Hot Sauce a little bit more positive spin, and I'm not here for it. I won't say it's fake news. I will say it is a little bit concerning to me that right when I'm at the heat of my anti-sauce dilemma, there is this article involving Mr. McDonald. Do you feel that to be a little curious, Justin, or do you feel like...
I mean, it is suspicious timing to come out, you know, trying to boost Ring of Honor's profile in general. They say, you know, bring a guy out who's a big Michael McDonald fan, kiss some babies, hum Sweet Freedom.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Things of that nature, but it's how the game's played.
Hey, I get you.
Take a chance, you make it. Take a chance, you take it.
Well, now that I've been
Steve Winwood, but I forgot what the next line was.
It's all right. As I slip into my idiocy, what were your thoughts on the show, you and Chris, our good friend Chris Maitland, Tracy, Hot Sauce Williams, apologist, and otherwise fine gentlemen? What were your thoughts on the show live? What were the things you think? And then I'll kind of like tease that out. I have some questions about that.
Okay. I thought it was a very good show live. Tracy Williams handled himself admirably. In a losing effort to Jay Lethal and Jonathan Gresham, again, whose shirt I'm wearing, and in a Iron Man tag match, which is not it was not like a real easy match to have, since it was, they're all face guys, and Iron Man matches themselves are kind of hard, since everybody knows, you know, nothing's going to happen in for 25 minutes. But I mean, it was a hell of a technical spectacular. There were a couple of wild matches. There was a four-way with Flip Gordon, Caristico, PJ Black, and a fourth person who's I cannot remember. Bandito. Gosh, that was really excellent. Even it was so good, like they botched a couple spots and people just didn't care because it was like a lot of high flying. The main event, which is the Kingdom against the Villain Enterprises, was a wild brawl that actually set up some future booking things, which I think has been a problem that Ring Honor has had, in that they are often too slow to pull the trigger on certain items, pushing guys to the top. But I shouldn't speak so obliquely. Basically, PCO got the win. He pinned Matt Taven. Now PCO's getting a title match in Toronto in like 3 weeks. So that's pretty smart, in my opinion. I think PCO's definitely got – I'm not saying you should make him your world champ, but there's definitely like a cult following there, and they should do well to capitalize on it just by making him a top guy.
What would you say is the – if I can borrow what's going to come out on Thursday, the end game of a PCO. For me personally, I wouldn't mind if he did win that. But if not, I'm happy with Villain Enterprises kind of in their role in Ring of Honor. How have you felt so far about PCO in general? Or I'm sorry, PCO in particular and Villain Enterprises in general in Ring of Honor?
I think they're being used very well. They're probably one of the better uses of like a group right now. I don't know if he would be a great world champ. He's very gimmicky, since he's essentially Frankenstein's monster, and mm-hmm. I don't know if that's what you want as your world champ. Also, he works best in tag matches because he can do like some crazy bump and then spend 5 minutes to recover. So I think he's being used very well. Positioning with Marty Scurll was pretty smart, because Scurll is like a very popular veteran, so you've got him working with these newcomers, kind of giving them the rub of popularity. They put him over the Briscoe super strong at the 15th anniversary show, which was pretty well done. So, I would say I think Villain Enterprises are one of the better booked and better used teams that's going on right now.
When you look at them and you see Marty with the contractual situation, and from watching the Ring of Honor television, do you feel like they missed the boat? I know we talked a little bit earlier about the Israeli side of that title match, but do you feel like they missed the boat with the G1 Supercard not having Marty win it? Or is it just, would it be too much too soon in that case?
No, I think, well, it's tough to say, but I assume Marty is leaving in like 4 months or 5 months. So,
right.
More than anybody, I think that really had a lot to do with why they didn't give him the title. And I can understand the reasoning from there. Like I said, honestly, if you've watched the TV, they really have built up Taven for a long time to get this title run. So I don't, and Taven's an interesting story because he's actually like, he's a very good heel, and it's a hard thing to do now. Like, if you're too good at being a bad guy, people are going to love you. So he's found a way to make himself kind of like an uncool bad guy. And I think he's pretty good at that. And so I know there are a lot of Taven haters, but I don't know. Like, it's like, well, I guess it's a very weird situation to be in, because you're supposed to be a Taven hater. So I don't know that he's, like, the worst choice they could have made for a world champ. And I do, I don't know, like, I think, I can see both sides, like, why you would have had Marty win the belt at G1, but also, like I said, if he's going to leave soon, maybe this is the best role for him, just trying to give the rub to a few guys on the way out through popularity. I mean, well, time will tell.
Do you anticipate, like, let's play it down a couple of months. You mentioned the Octopus, Mr. Gresham. Do you feel like he could be a guy, because I know in the independent scene, I've seen him a lot with his teammate with CCK and doing more stuff like in Britain, things like that. Do you feel like he's a guy who could use a Villain Enterprises or kind of step in, or is there anyone else that could kind of take that role should they get rid of should the villain depart?
Oh, Gresham's not really at that level, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's sort of been given, like, you know, he's Jay Lethal's little buddy. Nope.
Right.
Literally, I suppose. But,
Well, not if you listen to his fiancée.
I mean, Lethal,
because his fiancée, Jordan Grace, was on Twitter and raising quite the number of eyebrows when she said the reason he walks funny is because of the third leg.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah. Jordan's been spicy on Al Gore's internet recently.
I tell you, I don't follow a lot of wrestlers on Twitter, surprisingly, and I'm kind of, well, I probably should. I've learned so much about, like, relationships this week, and, like, you know, when people are like, oh, my God, they broke up Charlotte Flair and Andrade. I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was a thing to worry about.
Yeah, and
so neither here nor there. Yeah, neither here nor there, but, yeah, just stuff I learn all the time. Who would step in? I mean, Lethal seems like the most obvious guy who could step in. He doesn't, I mean, like, he and Gresham are friends, but you could also see Lethal leading, like, Lethal Enterprises.
Mm-hmm. Now, we talked about two-thirds of them. What do you think of Brody King?
But he is the lesser of the three, for sure. Even, like, after the post-show, like, they were doing a chant, like, PCO is the next world champ, and then people started chanting for Marty as the next world champ, and Marty was trying to get people to chant Brody as next world champ, and Brody kind of gave, like, a who, me shrug, and then the chant just sort of never got going. So, I mean, he's a good worker, but he definitely does not have the personality of the other two, in my opinion, at least in Ring of Honor.
Excellent. Now, when we were talking before, we kind of talked about the history, like how we went in 2003 when they came through. As they've been going through the Ohio loops, as you and Chris have gone to some of them, as you've watched television, what do you feel like the things they're doing well right now? What are the things you think they could be doing better?
Well, generally, I think, especially this year, they've gotten really stale with their booking, which I think is possibly being changed, because news broke on Thursday that there's really been kind of a shakeup in the booking staff, with Delirious losing power, and not that he's, like, all the way gone, but like Joey Mercury and Bully Ray are gaining more favor. So everything I say could be moot in, like, 3 months. But my big issue, like, if you looked at the top of the cards and how they were booking Lethal as the world champ since Final Battle, it was not very inspiring. So let's run this down real quick. So, okay, so their shows. January 12th, he was part of a 10-man tag that was, like, the big introduction of Lifeblood. January 13th, he faced Dalton Castle for the world title. Take a break. Then you get into the Tag Wars three-shot. So the first night, he teamed with Gresham against Mark Haskins and Hot Sauce Tracy Williams. Then the 25th, he faced Vinny Marsiglia for the world title. 26th, he was in a three-way tag that was part of the Tag Wars. Then they're off till February 11th, teams with Gresham against Coast to Coast. February 12th, teams with Gresham and Roosh against the Kingdom. March 15th, finally faces Taven for the world title. There's also a Japanese title defense against O'Reilly in there, TK O'Reilly in there that I missed. And so this is not like, in my opinion, this is pretty like, pretty bland use of your world champ. Like, previous times when they would come through Dayton, you almost always got a world title match or any, like most shows, like they would always have like the champ was usually in a title match, even if it wasn't like his main feud, like you could just have a mid-carder match on
gotcha.
A mid-carder come up for the top. And I think that was a better use of the world champ on the shows. Instead of just facing Kingdom guys and teaming with Gresham over and over again. You know, you could just have him say, like, one night he faces, I mean, you have all Lifeblood, so one night he faces Haskins, and one night he faced Williams, although I know you would then be protesting outside the arena. And so, like, I just feel like they really, the shows on the whole, having watched them all, were really kind of bland leading up to the Madison Square Garden show. Like the world, the 60-minute draw at the 15th anniversary was kind of cool, but I don't know. Otherwise, I feel like there's not a lot of there wasn't a lot of like juice going on to really get you pumped for the world title, which is supposed to be the thing. So that said, going forward, as I noted, like PCO got the pin in the main event over the world champ at the Columbus show, and they immediately catapulted him into a world title match. So maybe they, you know, figured out things are getting stale. Like, that certainly makes sense. They haven't announced, like, Taven's opponents for any of the other next round of shows. They're doing, like, a four shows in 5 days coming up in early May. The part of the, I guess, the Global Wars tour. So we'll have to see, like, what they do with him on that to really get a picture. But that's like, the thing that struck me most, like, how sort of just boring things had gotten in the terms of that booking.
Got it. And
go ahead.
I was just gonna ask,
do you have a follow up?
Yeah, I was gonna say, in terms of the booking, do you feel like it's just the location as far as Ohio in general, like, hey, because they're not like, you know, WWE where they can have an A loop, B loop. They need every show to hit because this stuff's leading to their big
right.
shows. So what do you feel like is
exactly.
the biggest is it Yeah, so is it because we, like you mentioned, we saw the shakeup with the writers' room. We saw things changing in that regard. Is there someone you feel like they're really missing the boat on that could kind of help them freshen things up?
Well, Gresham, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I think Gresham. I think I know there is. Oh, well, I think Jeff Cobb, I think they're starting to position people well. Like, I think Cobb, they've positioned really well, and I think he's getting over very well. I just said well a lot. I would move him up even more than they have. Like, he's sort of in an early stage Goldberg role right now, just mowing people over. But I'd shoot him up faster. And, like, Flip, I think Flip Gordon was supposed to be more high profile, but he got injured in January, and so he had to miss a lot of shows. I'm not sure what they're doing with Bandido. Like, he was supposed to be, like, this high-profile guy, and he comes in. He's doing – and at first he was doing, like – he was a very central focus of the shows. Like, he was always getting the pins and tag matches. Then the pay-per-view, he just got mauled by Rush and got eaten up and pinned, and I was stunned when that happened. So, it sure seems like they're setting up Rush to get a title shot, which is fine, but I don't know. Like, I would have picked Bandido over Rush.
Yeah, it seems to be interesting that Rush – well, I get Rush because I know in CMLL he is, like, the dude. Everyone loves him. He's one of the Los Ingobernables, Mexico, and I can get it. But here in the United States, Bandito's been the dude. Everywhere you look, PWG, AEW. I mean,
right.
When you look at the All In, they took their time out of their own match to make sure Bandido got highlighted.
Yeah.
I loved his –
So I guess that was part of my surprise. I had not seen a lot of Bandido, but the reputation of him, it was surprising that, you know, in the end he did the job to Roosh.
And I guess they were just kind of playing around, figuring out where they're going to slot people. But I feel like there could have been someone else to do it. I mean, obviously it's not my gig in terms of booking it, but I just feel like they don't need to use Bandido or Roosh against each other, even though it's so easy because they're Lucha backgrounds. I feel like they could, especially with Lifeblood and all these other stables, it's greater, it's better to kind of share the wealth, kind of like the SmackDown 6.
Yes.
What is your biggest takeaway from this show? Do you feel like it was money well spent, or do you feel like you were left wanting more?
Oh, no, I thought it was definitely money well spent. I thought there were at least three really top-tier matches. I definitely enjoyed myself. I had a great time. I don't know. That was it. Like, I thought it was one of the better ones I've been to in a while. So I always enjoy Ring of Honor. I've always live experiences are different. Like, they always have there's always a good time. I always have a good time with a live show.
Good, good. Now, before we get out of here, we do have Mr. 862 himself, Kylan Furlong, on the line. So let me pat Kylan in, and then we'll answer his questions, and then we'll bounce so I can then become Dean Warmer and shake my fist at the college kids.
Seems fair.
All right, Kylan, welcome back to the Deep Dive. How are you on this fine Saturday?
I'm very well, Rich. I apologize for my apparent lateness, as I made the mistake of listening to Blog Talk earlier today, which led me to believe that we would be starting at our normal time.
Oh yeah, that was my fault. I had to travel because today is a work day for me. And when I made the change, I forgot that when Wade does it, it's on Central Time. So it looked correct at 5 p.m., but it's always 5 p.m. when he sets it up because it's 6 Eastern. Patented around the world in 80 days, time zone conundrum.
Central Time. Oh.
I know.
It's not a real time zone.
So my first question for this week concerns Ring of Honor, and I hate to be on the quote-unquote morose tip, but after our Talking Honor host brought this up on their show last week, it got me to thinking. With the perceived abject failure on the part of Ring of Honor that was known as Supercon of Honor, with a somewhat bloated, protracted card, and their failure to capitalize on the opportunity of being the first non-McMahon run promotion to run an event in Madison Square Garden 2 weeks ago, as Harley Pageon and Emily Fear asked, is this the time we need to be concerned for Ring of Honor's welfare with AEW and many other promotions stealing Ring of Honor, Thunder, and Spotlight at this time.
What do you think, Justin?
Well, I mean, yes, probably, because I still enjoy the Ring of Honor product. I enjoy it quite a bit. And it's sort of too bad, like, people are so down on the G1 Supercard because that was maybe not the best the Ring of Honor has out there. Usually, like, their TV is, there's usually some very good matches on their TV. Like, I was actually the weekend of the Ring of Honor show, G1 show, there was a Jonathan Gresham Silas Young match that was outstanding. And so it's not that they've all their talent has been stolen by a long shot, but they definitely are down on the buzz department, and they clearly know it. And I think they it's not, how do I say it? Columbus show, there were 500 people there. Rich is going to the AEW show in May. There's going to be, what, 40,000 people there, right?
No, I think it's like closer to like 15, 18, something like that.
Is it that much? Okay. That probably, yeah, that's more reasonable. But, yeah, my point still stands. So at this point, like, at this point, like, clearly they don't have the buzz. AEW, who knows what AEW is going to look like in the fall. But Ring of Honor, you know, is clearly struggling. There is a big hole left without the AEW guys that, you know, Ring of Honor is working to rebuild. I think they're doing an okay job, but I don't know what everybody else thinks about their rebuild. I also think, I mean, a lot of it depends. They're really, they exist on the whims of their corporate overlord. Think of Sinclair what you will. If Sinclair gets tired, you know, if Sinclair likes them and is okay with where they are, then Ring of Honor will exist. And if Sinclair sees them in the red and is like, what the hell, then that's the end of Ring of Honor.
And I'm kind of with Justin on that one. What about you, Kylan?
Yeah. Unfortunately for them, I don't think Chris Ripley and his bosses at Sinclair Broadcast Group are really willing to make the big wholesale changes that probably need to be made at this point. The first one would be reevaluating Hunter Delirious Johnson's job prospects and passing the Booker book over to someone else.
Well, actually, if I cut you out there, there's a lot of stories going around this week that Delirious is not out as Booker, but he's lost power, and that Bully Ray and Joey Mercury are having a lot more input into the booking session. So I think you may be wrong on that.
Well, if that's the case, then I'm glad to be wrong, because they've needed to make changes in that department for a long time. So
what about their booking don't you like?
Their finishes leave a lot to be desired. For example, about a month and a half ago, they were going through the whole Shinsuke Nakamura we use a lot of low blows for finishes, period, because we see WWE does it, so we feel like we need to do it. And then they also like copying the authority figure storyline with Joe Coffin, Bully Ray's supposed to be gone, and the next week he's back, kind of thing.
I could see that. I definitely could. I think, and to your point, and to help you out, Kylan, Sean Radican, of the Torch, did put a report out, I want to say Tuesday, about that, as far as the power dynamic changing in the Ring of Honor booking committee. And then I believe he alluded to it in his Saturday report regarding the situation with the title match in Israel.
Thank goodness. My second question for this week concerns the future of MLW, but I have a slightly more positive take on this, but I'm not sure where this is going to go either. With that great wrestling product that MLW has been presenting over the past 365 days, what would you see as the likelihood of them finding a new television home in the case that BN Sports multilingual cable channel goes under as a result of them losing their cable carriage lawsuit with the FCC recently?
Oh, wow. That's tough. I mean, losing the cable carriage. I mean, I saw it with the NFL Network and with the draft coming up this next weekend. And, you know, I want to say DirecTV dropped them, or AT&T Universe dropped them. So losing your cable carriage as far as an option for AEW and anyone else, that sucks. I mean, that's not good at all. What do you think, Justin?
Who got dropped? NFL got dropped?
Oh, well, I was just using that to go with what Kylan was talking about as far as the station losing their cable carriage. Yeah, the NFL Network,
oh.
It was one of those deals kind of like with where, you know, they don't reach a deal.
Yeah,
they just pull it. It's like, wow. But in terms of wrestling, if you have an option for a cable company and they lose their national cable carriage, that's not an option anymore. To me, like, you can't risk that. That's
no.
Like going to
I think MLW would be, excuse me, in real trouble if they lose their carriage. Like, AEW's, if they've got this great TV deal cooking, they're the exception to the rule. Because look where Impact is, or is not. I don't know if you get the Pursuit Network. I do, but I had never realized I did until Impact was on it. So, it's hard to get a TV deal, and I don't think MLW has much of a shot if they lose BN Sports.
What do you think, Kylan?
That's very sad, because their product is great. I don't know how, well, I know how familiar Rich is because we've talked about it, and he was just at Battle Royale, so I know he knows how great it is. But Justin, if you haven't had a shot to watch it, please watch the MLW product. It's excellent. And it's gotten even better now that Jim Cornette is there as color commentator, in my opinion.
All right. Well, no, I never have watched it, but I will try to make a commitment to do so.
Yeah, just to give you an idea to sell you on it, Justin, they have a great manager, Selena De Laurenta, who has her own, like, stable. And it's led by La Parca.
Oh, the real one?
Yeah, so L.A. Park. And then his nephew or son, El Hijo de L.A. Park, is also in the promotion. And so there is a lot. It's awesome. And then the stable Contra unit, which is headed by Jacob Fatu, who's yet another, you know, member of the Samoan dynasty, former Simon Gotch, and I can't remember the third gentleman. They took over Battle Riot, which is their version of a 40-man Royal Rumble where you can pin, submit, or throw the guy over the top. They had to be ejected from Battle Riot because they covered the competitors in gasoline and were threatening to burn them to the ground.
Oh. Well, that is unique booking, I suppose.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, it's
my final question for this week: who would you and Justin consider as the most surprising move in the superstar shakeup from this past week, and why?
Definitely I was surprised that the Viking Experience, aka War Raiders, were called up because they had just won the tag titles and it didn't feel like time. I mean, obviously they were ready to come up in a skills sense, but it's sort of a dick move to NXT. You're like, oh yeah, we'll just take your tag champs. And the guys they beat. So, I mean, I don't know. The tag title situation in NXT is real murky now. So I guess that was the most surprising to me. And second was probably Chad Gable, just because it came out of, like, it wasn't an interesting reason. It just sort of came out of nowhere. And I felt like, you know, he had the team with Rude and they were going to go heel. And then they had, like, a bunch of story they could have gone through. And then, no, they didn't, and it's like, what's Chad Gable going to do on SmackDown, honestly?
Yeah, my biggest thing
had been... What dropped your jaw, Rich?
It was breaking up the Riot Squad. I didn't see the need for it, especially with Liv Morgan being brought by herself. And I joked during the East Coast cast that she's blonde, so I should have seen it coming, but it's still...
She's
like,
pink-haired, but...
Fair, but I just don't feel.
I did hear. I heard your anguish quiet cries from 4 hours away.
I was just looking up into the sky, screaming, "Why, Lord, why?"
Yes. Why live? Why live? Why actually is what you.
Oh, well done, well done. What about you, Kylan? And after that, we're probably gonna have to roll because I have to fly up the hill and go to my program.
I had the same reaction, surprisingly, with Andrade, because I thought he was perfectly fine where he was on SmackDown. So I found myself yelling into the TV, why move him? He was just fine where he was.
That's wild. Oh. Well, my friend, I hit the wrong button, but thankfully, because I'm using Skype and not the Blog Talk interface, it didn't crash everything down like the last time Bruce did it. So Kylan, have
a little BTS, a little behind the scenes here.
Yeah, there was an episode a couple of years ago when Bruce was on, and he was like, oh, no. And then it was like, this show is over. It was like 5 minutes into the show. And Wade's never let him go on that. But I was like, it's an honest mistake, and I just did it. I was trying to make sure I do my, like, show closing. Like, I have, like, a checklist I go through, and I was making sure I was setting the show to private so that way we can get the audio. My goodness. But, yeah, Kylan, have a wonderful weekend, my friend. Thank you for coming on, and I look forward to chatting with you next week.
You too, Rich.
All right, that was Mr. Furlough out in picturesque New Jersey. And Justin, before we get out of here, can you let the folks – first of all, thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for being flexible
sure.
with your time. We still banged out almost an hour, so I'm very happy with that. Where can folks find you on the
Ooh,
internet?
Phrasing, phrasing,
like
Rich.
I know. Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yes, yes, yes. The views mm-hmm. of Richard Mann do not reflect TDH Communications, Pro Wrestling Torch, Justin McClellan, all rights reserved.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, I'm on Twitter, jmcclellan1. You jerks won't follow me, so I don't care.
All right, my friend. Well, you have yourself a wonderful rest of your weekend, and thank you for coming on.
Sure, always a pleasure. Talk to you later, Rich.
Later. All right, y'all. That's it for this week. Next week, we'll have some more of the same. In the meantime, challenge yourself. Dive into something new. Go beyond where you think you can. And until next week, this has been Rich Fan saying sayonara.